Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's so amazing here, you know, because the psalmist, who is David, he is, by the Spirit of God, speaking to someone. He's telling someone to do something. And you know who he's talking to? His soul. He's talking to his soul. See, because he is a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. And it's the same with you and I. We are spirits first. We have a soul and we live in a body. And so our spirits, now that we're born again, our spirits are one spirit with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We're one with him. Everything God is, he is in the child born again believer. Everything God is, he is in you. So say this when they say, everything he is, he is in me. Hallelujah. Everything he is in you. But your soul, which is your emotions, your mind, your personality, your reasonings, and your body with the five physical senses, touch, hearing, smelling, all those things, seeing, all those things, many times can be very indifferent to the spirit. But that's okay, because we're not a soul or a body, we're a spirit, right? And as long as we are in touch with ourselves. See, David was not talking to himself. He was talking to his soul. And you're going to have to learn to talk to your soul. You're going to have to learn to talk to that outer part of you, your soul and your body, your feelings, your mind, your reasonings, your emotions. You're going to have, because they're going to talk to you. They're going to talk to you a lot. You know, the soul and the body can be very mouthy. It could really talk a lot. Tell you how it feels, tell you how it thinks, all these kind of things. But you, being in touch with you, being in touch with yourself, being in touch with the reality that you are a spirit connected to the Spirit of the living God, can rise up and take charge of that body, take charge of that mind, and put it in its place. We cannot be led by the outer man. That's what it's referred to. The soul and the body combination is referred to as the outer man. We have to be led by the inner man, the spirit man, who is connected with the Holy Spirit. I like that combination. I like the Holy Spirit and my spirit combination over the soul and body combination. You know, if we were going into a fast food restaurant, I know what combo I would order. The human spirit and the Spirit of God combo. I take that all the time over the soul and body combo. But you know, that's not really where most people are at. Most folks are following or ordering the number two combo. That's right. They're getting the number two combo instead of the number one combo. They're going with the soul and the body most of the time. And so as a result of that, they're very indifferent towards the spirit. Or the soul and the body is just dominating things, and the spirit is just being left out. But we have to insert our spirit into everything and take charge. Because if we don't take charge, the soul and body will take charge of us. That's the natural course of this world. The world and the soul and the body, they all like each other. It's an unholy trinity. And they like each other. And they will dominate everything about your life if you don't purposefully, deliberately rise up and take charge of everything that's going on in your life. You got to view, the real you has to rise up and speak from the Spirit. From yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Not all that I'm feeling, all that I'm thinking, all that I'm experiencing. No, with all that is within me. Within me. Boy, there's a lot in me. Is there a lot in you? Oh man, there's depths to you because you're one with Him and God is deep. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You got to tell your soul sometimes because your soul, again, your soul doesn't know what's going on when it comes to God. So you got to put this, just like putting a glove on, you got to put yourself into your soul and begin to tell it what you want. We're going to bless the Lord. You know, it's good many times to speak things out that you want to accomplish in life. Speak out what you don't want to do in life. Speak out what you want. Speak out what you don't want. Say it. Say it. You've got to speak it, because by speaking it out from your spirit, you are empowering your spirit and taking control of your soul, your mind, and your body. You're taking control of that outer part of you. So if you want to have a good day, what do you need to say? I'm going to have a good day today. See, don't just take for granted and expect like it's all just going to happen. Oh, it ain't going to just happen. If the world and the flesh and the devil, if they have their way, you're going to have an ugly day. And you're going to act ugly. You're going to go ugly. You're going to do ugly. That's what's going to happen. And a lot of times it does feel so difficult to speak up, to pray, to say hallelujah. I don't feel like saying hallelujah. I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, you feel like saying hallelujah. You're full of hallelujah. I said you're full of hallelujah, and the real you is full of hallelujah, but you see, it's your soul don't feel like hallelujah. So you got to speak to your soul and say, hallelujah. Hey, soul, bless the Lord. Sing hallelujah. See, we get up in the morning and we gotta declare how it's going to be. Now, this is how it's going to be today. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to walk straight in my way. I'm not going to walk down some crooked path. I'm going to follow the plan of God for my life. I'm going to fulfill every phase of what He's called me to do. I'm going to walk in love, and I'm not going to get ugly towards Margaret or anybody else. See, don't just take it for granted. A lot of people just go into it and hope Margaret treats them okay. And you know who Margaret is, right? That's the cashier at the store. Right? It's the lady driving in front of you, going 30 miles an hour when it's 55. And you got to be somewhere in 2 minutes. There's Margaret. Some people call her husband Murphy. And they call it Murphy's Law, you know. Murphy's Law, if it can happen, it's going to happen. Something negative is always going to pop up. You know, I want to pull out of my parking lot, and here come five cars. There's no cars before, but I'm backing out. Here comes Murphy 1, Murphy 2, Murphy 3, and Margaret. Right? Never going to happen. It's going to happen. So people, they are just hoping everything just works out right. No, we're going to declare how we're going to behave, how things are going to be, and how we're going to have it. How we're going to have it today. Praise God. And so he's speaking to himself, and he's probably doing this because his soul doesn't want to. His soul is indifferent towards God. It's not feeling excited about God. You know, thank God for experiences where we experience God from the outward. Maybe we get around other people that are experiencing God, and that splashes over onto us, and we begin to experience God. We get around other people having a great day, and that splashes on us. Thank God for great experiences that cause us to feel good and feel like praising God and feel like we're in love with God. But if we're led by that, you can be assured that somebody else is going to come along. It's going to splash mud on you. They're going to splash ugly feelings on you. I mean, you ever going along in life, you feel just fine, and then somebody with a bad attitude just gets near you, and next thing you know, you got a bad attitude. Why? They splashed themselves on you. And if you're controlled by experiences and hoping for a good experience today, then you're going to get into trouble. Your day is going to be like a roller coaster because a day is full of all kinds of experiences, up and down, good, bad, ugly experiences, all kinds of experiences. So you can't go into things looking for an experience. You got to go into the thing in faith and declare the way it's going to be. Because in your spirit, it's always good. It's always good inside. It's always good in your spirit. In the born-again child of God, it's always good in there. Because God's in there. I mean, you can be assured of that. I know. Are you born again? Anybody? Then I know good things are going on in there. In you right now. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of happiness. There's fullness of joy. There's wisdom. There's strength. Everything you need is on the inside of you. It's all there. So instead of waiting for somebody else to create an atmosphere for you, wait for some kind of experience or hope for the best today that you run along, you run into some good folks today. Why don't you just go ahead and make it happen? Make it happen on purpose. Do it on purpose. Do it deliberately. Make a decision to bless the Lord and to be a blessing. And to be blessed. I'm going to walk in the blessing of God. I'm going to walk in the goodness of God. I'm not going to walk in depression. I'm not going to be controlled by my feelings. And so that's what growing up spiritually is all about. Getting control of those emotions. Getting control of those thoughts. Getting control of those feelings. And the Bible talks about it over in 2 Corinthians. That we're to bring it all into subjection. Make it subject to the Spirit. Make it subject to the new creation. Because the new you is amazing. The new you is amazing. And there's no reason why the new you can't be seen all the time. The new you can be shining all the time. So, I mean, it looks like something's not going to turn out right according to the natural. And again, I've said this before, but it bears repeating because there's tremendous revelation in it that can just really help you in an amazing way in life. And that is that there was a time where I was always praying to God, Lord, cause this to turn out right. Cause it to work right for me. Cause it to go smoothly, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the devil. You're not going to mess with me. You're not going to get involved in this. And I command that you stay out of this. And Jesus, you just make this thing go smooth for me. And it's going to go quickly. And it's going to go great. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 9 out of 10 times, it'd do just the opposite. Be the hardest thing in the world. Hardest thing in the world. Thing would go wrong. It would go wrong. It would go wrong. It would go wrong. It would go wrong. Oh, you just get more and more frustrated. And then you think, my God, I prayed. In the name of Jesus, I prayed. Let's see, I prayed in the name of Jesus. I took authority over the devil. I did everything I'm supposed to do. Why isn't it turning out right? No? turning out right. And people get frustrated. They get frustrated. I just believe in God. I know I was in faith. I know I was in faith. But what they were hoping for was that everything involved in the situation, all the circumstances, would cooperate and be nice to them. But you can't technically get in faith about that. Because Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. That's what he said. So we're believing, God, everything's going to go smooth today. My path is going to be straight. I thank you. The devil can't mess with me today because I bind him right now in the name of Jesus. Devil, you cannot influence anybody to mess with me today. I'm going to have a great day today. Okay? You just prayed against the word of God. Jesus said, in the world today, you'll have tribulation. And you just prayed, no, there'll be no tribulation throughout my day today. That's what you just said. You just prayed against the word of God. You have absolutely no faith for that, so get ready. So I said, Lord, you know, make it all go right. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Finally, I got a revelation. It was my character. And I recognize it doesn't matter what's going on around me or how this thing turns out. No matter what happens, I don't have to go wrong. I can still have a good time. I can still walk through this thing, learn some faith lessons through it, get stronger through it, and just stay just as happy as if the whole thing doesn't work out right. I can say just as happy as if everything worked out perfectly. I could just go through this thing just the same way as if it was working out perfectly when it wasn't working out perfectly. I got a hold of that. So now, instead of saying, Lord, make everything go good here, I thank you, it's all going to work right today, I just say, Lord, I thank you that no matter what goes wrong, I don't. Keep me from going wrong. In the name of Jesus. Now, I can't control everything that's going on around me, but I can control me. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I can control my thoughts. I can control my emotions. I can control my feelings. I can control how we handle this. I can control how I go through this. And I can either go through this thing laughing, or I can go through this thing seething. I can't change the thing, but I can control me. Say, I can control me too. It's important for you to say that. Say it again. Yeah, in every situation. So you can control your emotions. Could you bless the Lord in the midst of a blasphemous situation? Yeah. Right, in the midst of a terrible situation, you can praise God. Come on. Paul and Silas, what a great example. Bears being repeated multiple times in the course of a Christian's life. Man, at midnight after being beaten, whipped, put into a hopeless situation, locked in the innermost prison in their darkest hour, what happened to them? They began to pray and sing praises to God. How do you do that? Your back's beaten. Rats are running around this place. It's at midnight. You're in the innermost cell. There's no electricity. It is dark in there. You can't see the hand in front of your face. You're in a hopeless situation. These men are probably going to ultimately kill you. And you're never getting out of here. How in the world, in that situation, do you begin to sing praises to God? Because on the inside, greater, is he that's on the inside than anything that's going on the outside. You got sufficient hope, sufficient happiness, sufficient strength, sufficient joy to be able to dominate that jailhouse. And we got examples of men that did it. I said, we got examples of men that did it. Even Jonah. He had gotten backslidden. He was running from the presence of the Lord. We were talking about that earlier, man, running from God. It says he went from the presence of the Lord. He hid. He was running from the presence of the Lord. So he gets on a boat to go to Tarshish. And he's out there on the ship, and a big storm gets whipped up. Thank God for the storms of life. And a big storm gets whipped up, and he knows he's the cause of it because he's out of the will of God. And so he ends up getting himself thrown overboard, and a great fish swallows him up. And that fish swallows him up, and he's inside this thing. He's inside the belly of this fish, and he's describing it like it's the belly of Sheol, hell itself. It's like hell itself. Imagine being in the belly of a fish. There's no lighting in there. It's dark. There's who knows what's floating around in there. Who knows what kind of sounds are going on in there. Right? You know. Terrifying. And then you get all the stomach acids eating away at your flesh, burning your flesh. It's a horrible situation. But what does he do? He begins to thank God, praise God, exalt God. He got things right with God in the middle of the belly of the fish. He got things right with God in there. He praised God. He began to magnify God. And the same thing happened to him that happened to Paul and Silas in that jail. Just like Paul and Silas, as they were praising God, the Bible says that whole prison shook, and the prison doors were open, and all the prisoners' chains came off. Dominated the situation. Isn't that beautiful? Jonah, Old Testament man, prophet of God, out there in the belly, he starts praising God, blessing the Lord with all his soul, lifting up his voice to God, not complaining, not whining, but thanking him and praising him, declaring his faithfulness and his goodness. And suddenly that fish got nauseous. And the Bible says the fish vomited him out on land. It's time to make the devil sick of you. I said, it's time to just get the devil sick and tired of you. But no, we're not going to do it. We're going to keep walking around. I'm sick and tired. You're sick and tired? I'm sick and I'm tired. And then you start developing some kind of symptom in your body. And then you're walking around going, I don't know why I have this symptom in my body. I kind of feel sick. I don't know why I feel sick. Well, maybe because you keep saying, I'm sick and I'm tired. Well, I didn't mean it. Well, you said it. I'm sick and I'm tired. It's your soul and your flesh talking you right into being completely consumed by your situation. Rather than get consumed by the situation, why don't you begin to declare the goodness of God and begin to praise Him? Rise up as the spirit of faith man, woman you are. And I'm telling you, you'll get that devil, your whole world around you will get sick of you and just blah, vomit you out of there. How am I going to get out of this mess? That's your problem. You keep trying to get out of the mess. Stop trying to get out of the mess and get into God in the midst of the mess. If you get into God in the midst of the mess, praise God, you'll be coming out of the mess. But if you keep trying to get out of the mess, you ain't coming out. Unless somebody else helps you. And that's only going to be temporary. You're going to find yourself right back in the mess. Well, how many people, they just keep getting bailed out. They get bailed out. They get bailed out. They get bailed out. Something happens, they get bailed out. Stop looking for a bailout plan. Stop looking for a bailout plan. And let's believe God for His blessing plan. Let's begin to declare His word. Let's begin to take charge of the situation. And I say, you know what's amazing about the situation? That particular situation, whenever I would start, it would start going in that direction where it wasn't working out. I wouldn't pray about it working out. I would just say, Lord, thank you that no matter how this thing goes, you keep me with the right attitude. Keep me going right, even if it goes wrong. And I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 times, it straightens right up. Everything goes well. Because I'm not worried about it. I'm prepared. I'm prepared for it not to go right. That's okay. It's not going to mess me up. This thing is not going to mess me up. This circumstance is not going to mess me up. I'm greater than this thing. I'm bigger than this thing. Because I'm in a big God and a big God's in me. That's who I'm one with. So this isn't going to mess me up. I'm not going to let you mess me up. I'm not a victim. And devils and people and circumstances aren't going to make me believe I'm a victim. So that I live and act like a victim. I will not live and act like a victim. Why don't you say that? I will not live or act like a victim. I won't do it. I won't do it. Praise God. No matter what goes wrong, I won't. I will not go wrong. Because I'm the righteousness of God. Whew, what does that mean? That means you're as right as God is right. In Christ Jesus, you are as right as God is right. That's incredible. God don't go wrong when things go wrong, does he? Did God go wrong when Adam went wrong? God slip off his throne? Everything began to spiral out of control? God was confused? No. Did Jesus go wrong when they were nailing him to the cross? No, he didn't go wrong. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Was Jesus a victim on that cross? No, he wasn't anybody's victim. He was in full control of the situation. Come on. Nobody took his life from him. He laid it down. He wants you to be in total control of your emotions. He wants you in control of your flesh. He wants you in control of your mind. He wants you in control of your body. I can't control these feelings. You never will talking like that. Your flesh, your soul will never control your feelings. Your soul and your flesh, your body will never control, your carnal mind will never control the situation. It will always feel wrong and act wrong when you don't want it to. You cannot get it to do right on its own. It will never do right. If you're waiting for your body to do the right thing, it's a hit and miss situation. And more than likely, it's going to miss. Every while it hits and does something nice. Does something nice, does something good. But usually that's out of selfish motives anyway. And it doesn't last very long. Because the love of God is not in your soul, it's in your spirit. So the right motives are in your spirit. So that's who you are. So Romans 5:5. The love of God has been poured out. There's that pouring again. Has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Saturated with love. Saturated with love. Saturated with good motives. Saturated with vision. Saturated with hope. I know everything I know when I need to know it. Because I'm doing everything I know to do. Right? One spirit with him, man. Is there anything you don't know? No, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. 1 John 2:20 says you have an anointing of the Holy One and you know all things. You have an anointing of the Holy One and you know what? You know all things. Is that what it said? You have an anointing. And the anointing that he's talking about there is the anointing, not that comes upon you for ministry, but the anointing that is in you. That's what he says in the verses prior to that. The anointing is in you. What's the anointing? What is the anointing? To be anointed, to anoint. You know, you think of suntan lotion. You take that bottle of suntan lotion and you anoint yourself. What do you mean? You rub it on yourself? You rub it into yourself? You saturate yourself with it. Anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is rubbed into your spirit. He's rubbed into your spirit. He's been poured out upon your spirit. And you are saturated. This does not just protect you from sunburn. This protects you from all of hell's burns that would try to come upon you in life. Hell can't burn the one who is anointed with the Holy Spirit. When you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, man, the devil's weapons can't prosper against you. You can walk right through the desert on the hottest part of the day, hallelujah, and not even feel the burn of hell. But go right through the fire, hallelujah, and not be burned. Walk out of there, glory to God. No sunburn. No devil burn. No world burn. No evil burn. No corruption burn. Doesn't even, nobody sees it on your face. You show up at church on Sunday, nobody looks and goes, oh. They were out in the tribulations. Were you lying out in tribulation this week? I was just lying in the tribulation. I was basking in it, Pastor. I was basking in the tribulation this week. I know, I could see. And then those kind of people are very touchy. You know, there's like a person with sunburn, you just touch them. Oh, you just touch them. Oh, you touch their shoulder. Somebody has sunburn. You have touched somebody with sunburn. Oh, it hurts. Oh, you can't even touch them. That's how it is. A person that's been lying out in tribulation without their lotion on, without their anointing. You just walk up to them, look at them wrong. They're offended. They get offended so easy, right? They get offended, they're hurt, they're mad, they'll snap back at you, or they'll go home and talk about you. What's their problem? They've been sunbathing in tribulation without any anointing. But if you have the anointing of the Holy One, sometimes you got to squeeze the bottle. Bless the Lord, oh my bloop. Bless the Lord, oh my bloop. You following this? All that is within me. Right? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is bloop within me. You speak it, see, you take charge. You speak and you bloop. You draw out the anointing that is in you, right? Come on. It's starting to get on you now. See, it was in the bottle the whole time. Now it's starting to come out of the bottle. Feel good, don't it? You take what's in the bottle and you take that anointing of the Holy One and you put it on. You put it on. And then you go out into your day. Ready. You're ready for trials. You're ready for tribulation. You're ready for problems. You're not afraid of it. Because no matter what happens, I'm still blessed. You can't curse whom God has blessed. You can't keep a good man down. No matter what goes wrong, glory to God, it's all going to turn out for my good and for the glory of God. I don't get bitter. I just keep getting better. Hallelujah. Stir it up. Squeeze the bottle. Stir it up. Take that anointing. Put it on you. It's so good in there. It's so good in there. It's all in there. Everything you need, it's in there. Right? It's in there. But we have to stir it up and get it out and put it on. Put it in our soul. Put it in our emotions. Right? Put it in our thought life. You got to do it. You can't get passive. The moment you get passive, you know, the stuff, it'll get washed off real quick. You got to keep applying. You got to keep applying.
It sounds exhausting. I got to keep applying.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting to the soul, because the soul rather play video games. The soul rather gossip. That's easy.
I'd much rather talk bad.
That comes so easy, isn't it? So you just start talking about David over here. And you just start going. It starts flowing. Somebody says one thing about David, and next thing everybody can say something about David. Right? It just starts flowing. Not really David, but But you know what I'm talking about? And nobody ever says it's exhausting to gossip. Nobody ever says that because it's not exhausting to the soul. It's not exhausting to the soul. The soul will just keep doing that. Just keep doing that. So you got to take charge of the situation. So no, we're going to keep reapplying. We're going to keep reapplying the anointing of the Holy One. I know everything I need to know. I'm not in confusion about anything. I'm going to walk right through this valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to fear any evil. Thou art with me. Thou is all over me because I'm taking what's in me and putting it all over me. Somebody say, thank God for the benefits. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I'm telling you, your flesh, your carnal mind will forget everything you heard today by the time you get down Spiegel Lane. You'll forget it so fast. Bible talks about it over in the book of James. It says there's folks, they're hearers of the word, not doers. They look in the word and then go away and immediately forget. Everybody say immediately forget. That's the soul for you. That's the carnal mind. Now, the carnal mind will remember all carnal things. But the carnal mind is not going to retain spiritual things. It's up to you. It's up to you to constantly keep spiritual things on your mind. Because your mind won't do it on its own. It won't. You have to do it. Your carnal mind wants carnal things. So that's what it remembers. So your spirit has to constantly be reminding the mind. Well, how do you do that? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I think blessing the Lord is the best way. That's easier than making a confession or any other thing. I mean, just blessing the Lord, singing to him, psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, sing about your deliverance, make melody in your heart to the Lord, glory be to God, praise him, praise him, praise him. That's it. When you're praising, you're saying something. So when you're saying something, you're reminding yourself of something. You're keeping yourself from forgetting. See, you will immediately forget. You will immediately forget. He goes away and immediately forgets what he just saw in the mirror of the Word of God. So he's telling himself, forget not all his benefits. Soul, forget not all his benefits. We're going to keep this thing in front of you, soul. You're not going to forget his benefits. That's basically what he's saying. You are not, soul, you are not going to forget his benefits. As long as I'm in here. As long as spirit man is here. Soul, you're not going to forget all his benefits. Well, what are those benefits? Who forgives all your iniquities? A lot of Christians forget that. They forget that they were purged from all their sins. They forget that they were purged from their sin. And as a result of that, what do? They, like a dog, returns to his vomit. They keep going back and repeating the same thing. A fool continues to repeat his folly. Just keeps going back doing the same. Keeps going back into the same mess. Why? He forgets that he's been forgiven. Hallelujah. No, I've been forgiven of that. I've been washed of that. I've been cleansed of that. That ain't me anymore. And just like in the natural, if you dress nice, you're not going to want to go work out there in the garden. Right? I mean, if you walk out the door and somebody throws you a shovel and says, hey, get in there and help us. You say, what are you going to want to say? You're going to say, well, let me go get changed first. Right? Let me go get changed first. You're not going to want to jump in there because why? Because you're not dressed for that. You're not dressed for dirt. Spiritually, I've been forgiven. I've been made the righteousness of God. I'm wearing righteousness. Forget about the natural. I'm talking about spiritually. I could be wearing shorts and a t-shirt in the natural. But spiritually, I've been forgiven. Oh, hallelujah, how precious that I've been forgiven, I've been washed, I've been cleansed, I've been separated from that mess, and now I'm wearing the righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm completely free. I'm good in the sight of God. Why in the world would I want to get in that dirt? But you see, if you see yourself dirty, you jump right in the dirt and get more dirty. I'm already dirty. What difference does it make get a little more dirty? Right? See, if you already see yourself dirty, then you just jump in there and get even more dirty. Say, I'm not dirty. Now, if you're a piggy, then you don't mind it. And the soul don't know. The soul thinks it's a piggy just like everybody else. Hangs out with piggies, so I must be a piggy. I go to work with piggies. I live with piggies. You know, there's piggies all around me. Piggy, piggy, piggy. And you'll have people, the oinking and everything else all around you. Right? You go online, there's piggies there. You turn on the TV, there's piggies there. And after a while, you just think, well, we're just a bunch of big pig pigs. So then you just roll around in the dirt like everybody else. I don't see what's wrong with it. All the other piggy Christians are doing it. Right? All the other piggies are doing it. It's got Christian lyrics in it. Most of it snorts, but it's got Christian lyrics in it. Right? You know what I'm talking about? You start feeling like a piggy, you start rolling around like a piggy. Say, I'm not a piggy. No. You're not a piggy. You're not a piggy. I preached a message many, many years ago. It was called Chicken Coop Christianity. A lot of Christians are hanging around with a bunch of chicken Christians, pecking down here on the earth. All the thing about is the things of this world, you know? Just think about the things of the earth. Bible says, man, set your mind on things above. He renews your strength like the eagles. Like the eagles. Oh, now you might be a baby eaglet. Eaglet. But you are an eaglet. You're an eaglet. My understanding is Mama Eagle should take her little eaglet and she'll take him on top of a mountain and she'll throw him off. She'll fly out there and drop him. And he's got to learn to fly the hard way. You know, it's either fly or die. God wants you to fly. He wants you up here on top of the mountain. Right? That's where he wants you. That's where he wants you. But where are most chickens? They're in the chicken coop. They're all cooped up down here. Just trying to peck around for something. Looking for something down here to satisfy them. Looking for something down here to make them happy. And if you hang out with enough and you see enough chickens, you start thinking you're a chicken. You start walking like a chicken. You start talking like a chicken. You start living like a chicken. Bless God, even though you're an eagle. You're an eagle. Just wait upon the Lord, glory to God. Set your sights on him and bless the Lord with all that is within you. Oh, hallelujah. And your eagle wings will rise up and you'll soar above all that mess. Hallelujah. And you know what eagles like to eat? Snakes. Ooh. You like coming down on snakes. You don't run from snakes. See, if you're a chicken, the snakes kill you. A snake gets in the chicken coop. Feathers are flying. There's a snake in the chicken coop. The devil. Right? But an eagle, man, an eagle soaring around, it looks good. Get off of him. You see that rock? Bang! That's what he does. I think eagles, they'll fly up really high, and they'll take the snake and drop him. That's what you get for messing with my brother. Mess with my brother again, I'll come down and get the whole vipers, all the whole den of vipers. Right? We attack them. Come on, say I'm an eagle. You are. We're not trying to be, you are. Just got to wait on the Lord. Set your sights on Him. Begin to open your mouth and declare who you are, what you have. In Him. Bless Him. Thank Him. Praise Him for who you are. Don't let that soul sit down on you. Don't let your mind forget all that He's done for you, all that He's given you. He's forgiven you. And what else has He done? And He's healed you of all your diseases. He's redeemed your life from destruction. Ooh, hallelujah. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Nothing can harm you. Crowns you with loving kindness, tender mercy, satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like... I forgot that was in Psalm 103. I thought it's in Isaiah 44. You wait on the Lord, He renews you. Right, but here it is. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Huh? Hallelujah. Somebody say, He satisfies my mouth with good things when I speak good things out of my mouth. And I'm going to bless the Lord with all my soul. All that's within me. And I will not forget. I won't let my mind forget it. All that He's done for me. And thus my youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Let's go soaring, church. I'm going to go soaring this week. How about you? You know, when a storm comes in too, you know, eagles love that. Chickens, they start going crazy in the coop, right? Storms come in. They start running around in the coop. But again, an eagle goes right towards it. And from my understanding, when a storm comes in, it actually helps lift them. They actually like riding the current of the wind when a storm is coming in. Hallelujah. So we're not afraid of storms. We go, oh, good. Or snakes. Storms, snakes. Eagles love that stuff. Because we're going to fly above it all. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.